watch her, she'll hurt you. I said, you better watch her, she'll hurt you.
All right, good evening, everybody. Hope everybody's doing good. Good to be back on a Wednesday evening. Everybody get to their place. We'll get moving this evening. Just some real quick announcements, of course, all of our services. Don't forget, somebody told me this last Sunday or maybe Sunday afternoon or something. I was like, really? We got to change our clocks this coming Sunday. That wasn't even on my radar. But it's the worst time of the year. You lose an hour of sleep. So, but change your clocks Saturday night. Also, do remember revival. Also, again, 4th, 5th, and 6th, is Brother Knox will be here, Lord willing. So do pray for him. And I do want to make mention of this. I know Brother Danny, I think, took care of it Sunday. Fellas, if you can help Rove during services, it's just to sort of watch the parking lot and different things. There are already an increase of people stealing gas. I mean, when gas gets like it is now, there is an increase of that. And they're, you know, it's one thing to steal the gas, but they're doing it, making more damage. They're actually drilling holes in the gas tank instead of ciphering it. So then you lose your gas, plus you have to buy a gas tank. So fellas, if you can help this Rove, we're not asking you to be a combatant of any sort, but if you can just sort of keep an eye, you know, if anybody's out there, we can sort of work on it then. So just help us out with that. So, okay. All right. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer and we'll get started this evening. Father, we sure love you. Sure are thankful, Lord, for the good day. And God, thankful just we're able to come to church tonight, Lord. And God, I know this evening, on probably everybody's minds are all the things that's going on in our world today. But, Lord, I always want to go past that, Lord, and know that all is well. God, that everything's right today in at the throne room of God. And, Lord, I just ask you this evening, God, encourage your children. Lord, help us tonight, God, just to draw closer to you. And we sure will help thank you and praise you for it. For us in Christ's name we do pray. Amen. All right, let's stand and sing a song.
Okay, grab a hymnal, turn to number 314. 314. Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. We'll sing all the way through. All four verses. So here we go. Let's sing it up.
Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, trials, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Praise God, 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 praise God.
Amen. All right, you can remain standing.
Amen. I think some of you woke up on the very last verse. Amen. All right, Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6 this evening. Ephesians chapter 6. I was telling a few back there in my office, we were just talking. I've weaned myself away from news, but now I've got myself back in with news because of the things that are going on in our world today. And I think I saw one of the, I've been around a bunch of liars in my life. I've met a lot of liars, but I think I have seen the most professional liar I've ever seen in my life. I can't think of her name right at the top of my brain right now, but the press secretary for our country, she can lie and not even crack a smile about it. I mean, I think she actually believes what she's saying. She says that there's no inflation. She says we're not heading in a recession. I was like, are you serious? I mean, but here we are. All right, Ephesians chapter 6. Again, we've been looking at the whole armor of God. We've drawn ourselves into, we've got all of our gear on and we're ready to go. And then here we come into verse number 18. The Bible says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So So prayer. We began this last week. We'll say more as we get going, but such a key, such a vital part of our Christian life. So let's pray. Father, we do ask you once again, God, for your guidance tonight, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for how good you are to us. Thank you, Lord, for just loving us, taking care of us, meeting our needs, Lord. And again, I know all is well. And we'll praise you for all you do. For us in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You can be seated this evening. Now, we're going to go, again, there's going to be probably at least two more nights, maybe three more nights of prayer. Because, again, I don't think you could ever exhaust what the Bible has to say about prayer. And if you remember back last time, we looked at Luke chapter 11, verse number 1 there. The disciples asked the Lord, teach us to pray. And again, I asked the question, who taught you how to pray? I mean, probably everybody in here says, I pray. But who taught you how to do that? The disciples went to the Lord and says, Lord, teach me. Teach us how to pray. And tonight, if we really want to have the prayer life that God really wants us to have and is there for our taking, I can't teach you to pray. The church isn't going to be able to teach you to pray. But I believe tonight, if we ask the Lord to teach us to pray, you'll be amazed at the difference in your prayer life. And again, the Bible says, we looked at that a little bit last week as well, it says to pray without ceasing. Men ought always to pray. So we see again the importance of prayer. As I said, I asked one question last week. Tonight I'm going to ask another question. And as we go through the next 2 to 3 Wednesday nights, there's going to be some more questions that's going to come along with it, I think. But last time we looked at, you know, this prayer in itself, but tonight I want to ask you this. I asked you the first time who taught you how to pray. Tonight I want to ask you this. What's the purpose of prayer? What's the purpose of praying? Now, I don't want you to speak out loud, but I want you to answer that question just right now. A few things in your mind. What's the purpose? God says we ought to pray. Pray without ceasing. Men ought always to pray. So God tells us that prayer is very important, very vital. But what's the purpose of it? Now, I want to say that many of you named one thing probably that everybody was probably together in. And we'll go through that in just a moment. But I want to show you real quickly how much God puts forth about praying. Look over in Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. Let's look at verse number 1. Acts 6, verse 1 says, in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there rose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily administration. Verse 2, then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom ye may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Now, again, we know this is the beginning of what we call the deacons. God says, you know, points out here the need. There is a need for taking care, and deacons are just servitudes that serve, help serve the church in that aspect. But here, the men of God says, we know there's a need, but we have something more important. And the very first thing they say, and I want you to make sure you see this, verse 4. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer. Then, and to the ministry of the Word. See, prayer is before even taking the Word of God out into the world. So we see again the importance of prayer. There is a reasoning behind this. So why do we pray? What is the purpose of prayer? Well, I got about seven things that I want to tell you that prayer is not. The first thing that prayer is not bargaining with God. A lot of people pray, you know, God, if you'll do this, I'll do that. That's not prayer. Prayer is not bargaining with God. God's not one to be bargained with. The second thing, prayer is not telling God what to do. There's a bad attitude in your prayer life if you go to God with that attitude that, God, you better do this. And some people have that type of attitude. So prayer is not bargaining with God. Prayer is not telling God what to do. Prayer is not just asking God for stuff. But a lot of times that's, if you're, now again, me and Teresa, it's been 2 or 3 years, I guess probably 3, since we've been to the Bible conference down at Brother Knox's. But the last time we was there, we met a missionary. We was actually staying at the same place with him, and we ate breakfast with him that one morning. And his wife, she had a notebook, and she says she writes all of her prayers, not to be read out, to, you know, like I stand up here and read a prayer. She says she writes her prayers as she's praying because it helps her to focus on how her prayer life is. Because if we could rewind the cassette tape and God would let us hear our prayers that we've prayed over the years, I wonder how many times, if we really examined those prayers, that we spent more time asking for stuff than we did doing what prayer is really about. So it's not bargaining with God. It's not telling God what to do. It's not just asking God for things. It's not just therapeutic. You know, some people says pray, it'll help you feel better or help you take care of your stress. That's not what prayer is about. Prayer is not just for being therapeutic. Prayer is not a way. We looked at those verses last week where we had the publican in there. You know, the one stood up and beat his chest, basically praying out loud with great words. Prayer is not a showmanship of your spirituality. Now, there's people that I do that in my past that I love to hear them pray, not because of their voice, not because of their eloquency of word, but I just know that when they pray, they're not talking to nobody but God. You know, they're praying. So it's not a way just to show spirituality. Prayer is not a bother to God. I have some people call her, well, preacher, I don't want to bother you. Some people go to God like that. Well, God, I don't want to bother. No, that's not prayer either. And last of all, prayer is not a waste of time. Some people believe, you know, why pray? God knows everything, which He does. So why do we pray then? What is the purpose of prayer? And I'm sure, again, everyone in here has some ideas in your mind that, you know, not saying they're wrong or right. I'm just saying, but let's examine really what prayer should be in our lives. The very first thing, and I believe the most important thing about prayer, is found. Let's look over in 2 Kings chapter 19. Second Kings chapter 19. The purpose of prayer and the very first point that we want to try to get across to us this evening. And I don't know how much we understand this should be to me. Probably if I was to rate these things, this would be number one. This reason I put it number one in my thoughts. Prayer, you know, we come to church saying we've come to worship. And I hope we do get worship in our church service. But you know, prayer should be a time of worship. Look here in 2 Kings chapter 19 Hezekiah here praying. Look at verse number 15. Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone. Of all the kingdom of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. Here Hezekiah in his prayer acknowledges who God is and acknowledges that we are worshiping Him because He's God. Now again, we'll see some things about prayer that I believe after getting this portion correct will lead into these other things. But right off the bat, our prayer life ought to be when we go to our knees or we call out to God, when we cry out, Abba, Father, it ought to be a place in our lives that we realize that we're not talking to the operator. We're not talking to the guy behind the curtains. We're talking to God. And when we talk to God, it ought to be something in our lives that understand that it's God that we're talking to. That's the part of prayer. Brother Beatty, one time, well, more than one time, I heard him pray this and I thought, wow. And he wasn't praying it just to be heard. But he basically opened his prayer up with the same thought of, you know, that we get to come before that God. Help us to get ourselves into that place where we realize He is God. I mean, I didn't justify his prayer by no means, but it was what he said. I thought, wow, it just touched my heart when I heard him say that. So worship should be the very first attitude of our prayer. That when we pray, I'm not praying to a man. I'm not praying to Mary either. I am praying to the God, the God, capital G, the God that created the heavens and the earth, the God that holds it all in the palm of His hands. That's who we're talking to when we pray. So the purpose of prayer is to worship. Look over in Psalms 86. Psalms 86 this evening. Psalms 86, look at verse number 12. I will praise Thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify Thy name forevermore. For great is Thy mercy toward me, and Thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. That ought to be our attitude. When we bow ourselves before God, when we cry out His name, we ought to realize that's who we're talking to. So the very first thing this evening, prayer, the purpose of prayer is to worship God. The second thing that prayer, the purpose of prayer is communication. And that's probably one of those things that probably when I asked the question, the purpose of prayer, probably a lot of us said it was talking to God, which is a great true statement. But it's more than just talking to God. One of the greatest ways in any relationship to build that relationship is communications. One of the things that kill most relationships is the lack of communication. And that's the reason prayer is so important. Yes, we get to worship God in our prayer, but also in praying, we are communicating with God Himself. Look over to Esther chapter 5 this evening. We won't take time to read all of it this evening, but I want to. Most of us know the story anyway. I want to draw our minds to it this evening. We know how in the book of Esther, because it would take probably the chapters before and after to get the whole story, of course. But we know how Esther was told from her uncle there that you know, they wanted to kill all the Jews. And they come to him and ask her, you know, you're our last line of defense. And Esther's like, but if I go and say what you want me to say, the king could kill me. He's not called me to come before the throne. He's not brought me into that throne room, because not just anybody could go in. But when the king saw Esther, he knew that she needed something and wanted something, and he extends that golden scepter to her, which was acknowledgement that she could come into the presence of the king. So we need to realize, and this is one of the things we'll look at not just tonight, I'm just going to touch this point one thing, is the privilege of prayer. To be able to worship God, but yes, also to communicate with God, to talk with God. Esther could not just go into that throne room. She had to be escorted. She had to be asked to come in. And thank God tonight, because of what Christ has done, because of Calvary, because of the rending of that veil, we can go into that throne room at any time, any part of the day, and we can go to God in prayer. To communicate, to talk with Him. Do look over here. Look over John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Look at verse number 13. John 15, 13. We're talking about communication. Now, again, communication is a two-way street, correct? Okay. Communication is a two-way street. Now, I've known some people that talk so much it's hard to get a word in edgewise. So that's not a real great communication. But when we go to God in prayer, first of all, to worship, but also to communicate, yes, it is a part that we get to talk to God, but it's also a time that God talks to us. But again, just like Esther got to go before the king, look right here what God says in verse number 13. He says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Then he says this, ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what the Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father have I made known unto you. That's communicating. That's just enjoying listening and to have that right attitude and the right communication when we go to God that we can enjoy. You know, my wife's somewhere. I don't know where she is. I don't know if she's in the nursery or where she's at, but. And some of you would say the same thing. You might have lost a parent or lost a family member. Have you ever just thought, man, I'd like to hear her say something one more time? I'd like to hear that voice one more time. That ought to be the kind of love that you and I have for the Father. You know, the Bible says He is that shepherd, and we are the sheep, and the sheep knows His voice. Communicating with God ought to be to the place that we can hear Him speak and know that's Him. We ought to desire to hear that voice, that word from God. I'm sure that, you know, some of you that have served in our military and even today, I'm sure we have a lot more modern technology, so communication is a lot easier in our day. But I've seen in movies, I've read in stories before, were especially like World War II, we'll use Vietnam, I'm sure was that way as well. Men fighting would, when they would finally get some mail, they would sit there and read that letter over and over and over and over. Why? Because they had not been able to communicate with the person they loved in such a long time. And to be able to read and to probably even hear their voices, they read that letter to them. That's how prayer ought to be to us. That we have such a desire to hear God's voice, to be able to listen to Him speak to us, to even think that He would speak to us. That's what the purpose of prayer is. That we can communicate with God, and God communicates with us, and we build that relationship. So the purpose of prayer is, first of all, to worship. The second of all thing that prayer, the purpose of prayer is to communicate or to build that relationship. Thirdly, this evening, as much as number one is true about worshiping God and knowing and acknowledging who God is, you know what prayer also does for us? Yes, it's worship. Yes, it's communications. But prayer ought to be the place where we realize our dependency in God. When we pray, we need to realize that, you know, without Christ, I can do nothing, the Bible says. So we ought to have that attitude there. Look over in Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1 this evening. You know, one of the most interesting things about prayer that I find as I read Scripture, you can find prayer throughout the Bible, of course. I mentioned maybe last time that we met, a good study is to follow the prayer life of Paul, because the majority of Paul's writings talks about his prayers for those people. And it's a great study just on the prayer of Paul. But one of the things that amazes me that I don't realize, and I think this would help us understand the purpose of prayer, why would Jesus pray? But He does. If prayer is just talking to God, why would Jesus pray? I think He shows that here in the verses that we're going to read here in Mark chapter 1, because, again, we know that Christ was God in the flesh. He was man, but He was also God. But in that being of man, He still needed that communion. He needed that talking with the Father. So He says here in Mark chapter 1, look at verse number 35 this evening. It says, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, He, being the Lord, went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed." He, even Christ in His human form, needed that place of dependency upon God Himself. You and I, when we pray, as mighty as God is, and as powerful as God is, we need to pray in such a way we realize that we depend on Him. Again, a lot of people are arrogant in their prayer life, telling God what He got to do. Listen, what a privilege to even talk to the Lord, but even more than that, Lord, without You, I can't do nothing. And that ought to be, again, one of our purposes in prayer, is it brings us. Paul prayed for that infirmity, whatever it was, that thorn in his flesh. He prayed and prayed and prayed for God to remove that thorn. And again, God answers prayer. Let me back up. God answers all your prayers. No, He don't. Yes, no, or wait are the three responses you're going to get from God. Paul prayed, prayed, and prayed. And God says, no, My grace is sufficient for thee. And if you go on and read those verses, that thorn, that whatever it was, some people says it's his eyes, something, I don't know, nobody knows. But whatever that problem he had in his flesh, God says, no, I'm not taking that away from you. And I'm paraphrasing this, of course. God says, I'm not going to remove that from you. Why? Because I'm going to use that to keep you humble and grounded and keep you where you need to be. So even Paul, the great man of God he was, and what a tremendous prayer life he had, Paul needed that relationship with Christ, even to the place where he needed to understand his dependency on the Lord. So prayer is worship. Prayer is communicating. Prayer is showing that dependency that we should have on God. Now, I mentioned that in the don'ts, that prayer is not just asking for stuff. And that is a true statement, but there's also a sidebar to that true statement. Prayer is a time to make our request known unto God. Well, God knows. He does. But God wants to hear from you. You know, I just like to hear my wife's voice. I just like to hear my children talk. I just like to hear my grandbabies. God likes to hear from us, even though he already knows. But God sure likes to hear from us. Look over in John chapter 15. John chapter 15. The Bible says, if you abide in me, verse 7, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. So, again, God wants us to ask. God wants us to make our request known. Look over in the book of Philippians. But there's a purpose behind this making our request known. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Well, God knows. I don't want to bother God. Why should I even pray? By making your request known, it helps to build that fact of worship because who God is, but it also helps in making our request known unto God, showing our dependency upon God. So in making that request, it does both of those things. So that's one of the purposes of prayer, is to make our request known unto God. Why? Because God does care. Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. God cares. And God wants you to make those requests known unto him. Another part of prayer, and again, I made mention that prayer is a two-way street. It is a communication from us to God, but more than that, from God to us. In that fact, prayer is a place that shows our co-laboring with Christ. The Bible says that we are co-laborers. When we pray, as we pray, and we'll get to this maybe next week, probably the next week, prayer, true prayer, and this doesn't just come right out of the box. You know, people take that way. If you pray in Jesus' names, you know, God says he'll do whatever he wants you to do, or you'll get whatever you ask, basically. God's not a genie. You don't rub a bottle and get three wishes. That's not who God is. One of the things as we pray that we need to make sure that as we build our prayer life in our walk with Christ is that we realize his will. Prayer ought to be centered around the will of God. Well, then how do you know the will of God? Through communication. Now, I've never done this. I have one on my porch. Some of you have done this. The old cross-cut saw. You know what I'm talking about? Back when they were real men. I cannot imagine cutting trees down with an axe or with a cross-cut saw. But most of our nation was built like that. Now that picture, that cross-cut saw, is for you that know what that looks like. If you don't know, see me later and we'll talk about it. But you know, again, you had a big saw blade and you had a handle on each side. Some of them were single handles, but we're talking double handle one. You know, there had to be some unison. And I've heard my daddy and my grandpa talking about, they would holler at you and tell you to quit, what did he say, quit laying on the saw or something. I can't remember exactly what he said. But basically, you were causing it not to work right. You were pushing when you should have been pulling, or you were pulling when you should have been pushing, or you wasn't in sequence with each other. God has got a will. God has got a work. God has got a job for us to do. But we are co-laborers with Him. But prayer is part of that building of that co-laboring, that we are so in tune with God that we're in step. We know when to stop. We know when to go. We know to turn. We know all those things. All that comes through prayer. So if we're going to truly be working in the way that God wants us to work as a body, but as that body with our head being Christ, we need to be in unison. And that's what prayer is about. Prayer will get us to the place where we're having the mind, not of myself, not of the church, but I'll truly start gaining the mind of Christ. I'll start thinking the way He thinks. One of the hardest things that I think that I've ever tried to teach people, and I don't know who taught me this, I guess my grandpa or my daddy, I don't know who taught me this. But as I grew up in life, you know, I worked with some pretty amazing people that I thought were pretty amazing. But some of you that do, you know, maybe carpenter work, this is probably one of the places I remember the most of this. If you're, you know, in the electrical world, a lot of times electricians will have what they call helpers. Well, to be a helper, you need to be helping. And I have a hard time working with somebody that's just standing there watching me work. You know, I've tried to teach my children. I don't know how good I did. Probably not well. You ought to be thinking ahead a little bit. Okay, he's going to need this wrench here next. So when he puts his hand out like this, he don't have to say, "Hey, dummy, give me that wrench." You've already thought. You already know what the job is. You already know what needs to be done, that you and he are working together to get the job done. You and I, as we walk with Christ, as we communicate with Christ in our prayer life, that will build up that co-laboring, that it's just natural. Prayer ought to be natural. Prayer ought to be something that it's just as, you know, when I first met my wife, you can ask my mom and daddy, when I was a boy, teenage boy, I didn't even want to look at a waitress and talk. I was that bashful. I just didn't want to talk to nobody. And when I started dating my wife, I had a hard time because I was bashful. But over time, we began to talk. And we talked. And we still talk. Not as much now because we have this amazing power that we know what each other's doing. We know what each other's thinking. We can pretty much start or end sentences on each other. How does that happen? Because of communications, because of laboring, because of our attitudes towards one with another. That's the same picture that you and I need to look at our lives at the purpose of why we're praying. All we ought to pray is to worship God because He's God. We got to pray because God has opened that access that we can actually talk to the Lord. Aren't you glad you don't have to talk to somebody else? Aren't you glad, and I'm not going to pick on religions tonight, but I mean, we know there's religions. There's a religion where you have to go talk to the priest inside of a box. Or you have to pray to Mary. Because you can't go straight to God. Well, that's not biblical. Because I'm one of His children. Can you imagine? Tell my grandchildren if they can't talk to me, but they have to go talk to their mom or daddy first, then come talk to me. And then they'll talk to me. No way. My daughter and son-in-law is back there. Sometimes I'd rather talk to my grandchildren than them. So it's truth, you know. You'll figure it out one day when y'all have grandbabies. You know, I done talked to y'all. I want to hear this little one talk. But they're back here. Gee, thanks. But see, that's the purpose of prayer. And when we get that part right, all this other stuff that we're going to look at about prayer will fall right in place. Jesus told us, men ought always to pray. There ought to be a purpose behind our praying. It is to worship. It is to communicate. It is to show our dependency. It's to be that, make our request known. It builds that co-laboring. And last of all, and I've touched a little bit on this already, one of the purposes of prayer is to really understand the love of God. That ought to be, as we pray, that we really understand how much God loves us. That long suffering of God, that mercy, that grace. Prayer ought to get us to the place that we truly understand that God really does love us. Oh, I know, we can sing it, we can say it. But until you get in that relationship, that's what prayer does. You'll not know the true love of God. You know, if we really thought about it, and I've caught myself, and my daughter would probably say, yeah, Daddy did that kind of thing. You ever got mad at somebody? Your children? And instead of showing love, you showed anger. You spoke harshly instead of lovingly. Sometimes even speaking that way is love. God loves me enough that He disciplines me. If He didn't care, He wouldn't discipline me. But even, and we know this is modern man's idea, you know. Well, I don't even think modern. Back when we were raising children, probably before that, you know, maybe a little. You know, you discipline a child, but you always make sure they knew you loved them. And I agree with that. But even when we have that relationship with God through prayer, we'll get that communication that even though God has to speak harshly to me at times because I'm not listening, He still shows His love that He would even talk to me. So that's the purpose, I believe, biblically. And again, everybody has their own ideas and that, but I'm just giving you some thoughts that God laid upon our heart that I believe we can line up scripturally. There has to be a purpose of praying. It's not just to be talking. So I hope as we examine this thought of prayer, as we understand the praying without ceasing, as we understand that we pray for a purpose, our prayer lives begin to change. Have you ever been praying and you have to stop and think, what am I doing? I'm not even praying the way I ought to be praying. I get caught up in something that, you know, that vain repetition. It's easy to do. Well, I got to pray. I got to go. That's not true prayer. Again, prayer ought to be as natural as us breathing, or as natural as me talking to my wife. Again, it's not the same level, it's God. But again, it ought to be that relationship to that place if that's what prayer has done. Today, you know, we get, I don't know about you, but I get Seems like 1,000 spam calls a day on my cell phone. And sometimes I answer them just to have a little fun with them. Most of the time they annoy me if I do answer them. And most of the time if I don't have your name in my phone and my phone rings, I probably won't answer it, leave a message, and I'll figure out if I want to call you back or not. That's just the way I work. But, God, I might wake up tonight at 1 o'clock in the morning and start praying. He loves me enough that He'll be there to talk to. That's what prayer is really about. So, I want that kind of prayer life. I hope you desire that type of prayer life. So, let's stand together this evening. Miss Rhonda's coming, as Brother Russell's coming. Our heads are bowed, our eyes is closed. And before you begin to play, Miss Rhonda, I want you to think for a moment. How many times did I pray today? What did I say when I prayed? Why did I pray? I believe we all probably very periodically ought to let God help us examine our prayer life and see if we're still hitting the right marks in our prayer life. So as Miss Rhonda begins to play this evening, I don't know what your needs are tonight, but I do know there's a God in heaven that you can call into. He says, I'll answer. You might be here tonight and you've got a hurt. Oh, God cares. He'll listen. He understands. He can feel. We have a high priest that knows our infirmities. You might be here tonight and you've got a burden. There's something that's really got you down. You might be here tonight and you just got a physical need, a struggle. Prayer. Father, isn't it great that you can say that? Let us just sing one verse of that. That's a beautiful song.
Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer,
you ever just
that
get
calls
time
me
with God
from a world of care,
that real?
And bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare. By thy return, sweet hour of prayer.
We're going to close out in prayer. You know, we pray a lot around here. But I just wonder how much it's just in vain. I hope it's not. There's needs. We know that. Do pray for the church, the needs here, of course. Remember the lost. Remember our missionaries. I was thinking today coming to church as I, you know, me and my wife were, there's not many gas stations between here and my house till you get closer to Salisbury. And I knew we were getting ready to come up on that gas station that we come to first. And I says, what do you think gas is? So we had a little game to see who could get. I got it right, by the way. But
we guessed how much gas was. And you've already figured out that gas ain't cheap. But I thought about this today. You know, Brother Rick, Miss Judy's a good example. And there's others. Missionaries travel a lot. Can you imagine how much that's going to be a burden upon a lot of missionaries because of what it's going to cost them? Almost 2.5 times what it used to cost them. That's just, again, just we need to pray for our missionaries. I do pray for Brother Poplin. He's still recovering from his knee surgery. Continue to pray for Brother Bill's daughter, of course. Brother Hunting, as he's still recovering. Brother Derek, as he's going to be having surgery coming up soon. Also, do pray for revival. I really do. I know we need it. I know God can give it. But I really believe we'll get what we ask for. If you want revival, I believe God will give it to us. So let's be praying for revival. Brother Poplin also asked us to pray for his sister, Brenda Blackwood. That's Brother Stone's mom there. So do pray for her. Some health needs there. Teresa's cousin, Jamie, with the stem cell transplant. My wife has some unspoken. Amy Knupp had a colonoscopy and endoscopy procedure Tuesday. Is she in here? The best part of that's the good stuff they let you drink. Man, it's better than soda pop. Yeah, boy. Pray for our brother James. He's having a gallstone surgery Monday. And her mom's, Miss Amy's mom's at home sick as well. Pray for Chris and Rhonda. Some unspoken for lost family and friends. And then, of course, the school. Remember the school Bible club there? Continue to pray for them. Sure. All right.
And he brought up a cross with him and was explaining all that to him. He said that there's already a student in the Bible club that is now attending their church.
Oh, wow.
So that just really made no sense.
That's what it's about.
We're reaching that
community. Yep. Makes a difference. Makes a difference. So, amen. Do continue to pray. I know what the world would like to do. Shut it down. So, Brother George. Okay. Remember Brother George tomorrow. Okay. Sure. Okay. Sure. All right. Do pray for that. Anybody else real quickly? Yes, ma'am. Oh, boy. Remember that little one. Yes, ma'am. Oh, okay. I didn't mention it, but I should have. Remember our country. There's times I'll think about things like, man, this could get ugly. Then there's times I think about it says, we're just one step closer. I don't know what's going to happen. I just know one of these days the Lord's coming back. That's all I know. Yes, Brother Melvin. Yeah, remember Miss Rose. Yeah, remember Miss Rose. Anybody else? All right. If you can, you would. We'll gather around the altar. You don't have to come. You can pray where you are, of course. There is something about coming to the altar. I think it helps us to do that worshiping part. Helps us to realize that need as well. All right, let's pray. Our Father, what a joy it is just to even think about prayer. Lord and God, I pray we have a prayer life that's a prayer life that would be pleasing, a prayer life that would be profitable. Lord, I pray a prayer life that would be something that would bring that worship into our lives because you sure are worthy. God, I know tonight, as we've already mentioned, we have needs amongst our church family. God, I know tonight, God, there's a lot of uncertainties, but Lord, help us to realize that we are on a rock. And Lord, there's nothing going to, we're on that sure foundation. And Lord, I just pray for our country tonight. God, I do know there's many people in harm's way. There's a lot of our military is even in the moving motions right now, setting up for things ahead, I believe. And but God, I just pray, Lord, you'd put your arms around those. God, just speak that peace there. God, we do pray for the folks there in Ukraine, the ones that are having to deal with all these things that are going on. I do pray, Lord, that you'd help us to be mindful. There's Christians there. I didn't mention it, but Lord, we heard from a missionary today that's over in that area, and they've already got close to 100,000 refugees in their country. And Lord, they're doing their best to use this opportunity to minister to those folks. And God, I just pray to you just to help those missionaries there. I pray for all the missionaries, God, that's out there trying to do their best, Lord, to get the gospel around the world. I just pray you'll meet their needs. And God, I do pray for revival services hopefully coming up here in a few weeks. I pray for Brother Knox, Lord, as he's still, I'm sure, going through that time, Lord, of his mother's passing. I just pray, God, that you'd comfort him. God, that you'd continue to use him. I do pray, God, for Brother Floyd Poplin in recovery there, for his sister there, Miss Brenda Blackwood, and the needs there, for Brother Bill's daughter. We just continue to lift her up, Brother Hunting and his wife. We do pray for Brother Derek, God, that you'll continue to help him, give the doctor's wisdom there. Lord, we do pray for Brother George and the surgery coming up there, and for Tony Cranfield there that's had surgery on her eyes, for the little one that Miss Teresa mentioned there with the stitches, Lord, and God, for Miss Rose, Miss Linda there, as they're dealing with that, for Jamie Dillard, as he's dealing with that cancer, for my wife and the needs and unspoken that's there, for Miss Amy Knupp, and for the procedure she's going to be having for James as he's going to be having that surgery. And I do pray for Miss Knupp, God, there as she's homesick. Lord, we do pray for Brother Chris, Miss Rhonda, Lord, for the unspoken, for the lost family and friends. And Lord, thank you, Lord, for the good news there about school. God, what a blessing. God, I pray for that man of God that's taking time to put some effort into reaching those kids with the gospel, Lord. And I just pray a hedge about him. I pray, God, Lord, you'll just continue to meet the needs there. And God, help us, God, as we try to look at a Sunday night. What's our vision? Or what do we want to see? God, I pray that we want to see, God, our community reached with the gospel. Lord, thank you again for all you do. Thank you, Lord, for the good news and praises that we've heard this week. And God, again, just thank you, Lord, that we can say with all assurity it is well. God, no matter what happens, Lord, I don't know what we face, Lord, but I know, Lord, tonight, no matter what this world might bring, whatever we might have to cross, God, we got a home in heaven. And Lord, we're keeping our eyes the best we can focused on those things. And God, give safety as we travel home, give rest. And Lord, if you let us get up tomorrow again, please help us to realize that we have another opportunity to share the good news. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. Lord, go with us, Lord. For it's in your name we do pray. Amen. Be careful going home. Hope you have a good evening.